Welcome to Creating Smarter Spaces, where we explore the intersection of technology, innovation, and the built environment. Produced for corporate real estate, facilities management, and workplace technology executives like you, this podcast is your go-to resource for staying ahead of the ever-evolving world of smarter spaces.
We all want to believe we're doing the right thing and designing workplaces that are healthy for our people to work in. And maybe you are. But in this episode, I want to challenge you a little. This episode is all about how you can take data you get from smart workplaces and use it to drive positive change for your people in both their personal and professional lives. As always, I'm your host, Michael Prischula, and in this episode of Creating Smarter Spaces, you'll get to hear a slightly expanded version of a talk I recently gave at the World Conference in Long Beach, California. I hope you enjoy it. Not constantly measuring your office environment is like building a new production line and never monitoring its output or performance. If there was a robot on the manufacturing line and it was operating at 80% of its potential capacity today, do you think you'd just leave it be? Or would somebody go out there and do something about it? Tune it up and get it running back at 100%. People have been the production line of the information economy since its inception. We've been putting more and more people into our workplaces every single day. And at the same time, the data on the negative impact of unhealthy workplaces on people has continued to mount up. Despite all the knowledge and technology we have, our spaces are arguably getting worse. We care about the factory line because we can physically see when it's falling apart, when it's not producing the units per hour it should be, when it's had more downtime per month than usual. There are plenty of studies that show that poor air quality impacts productivity across the workforce by as much as 33% in some individual workers, that personal productivity increases by as much as 60% in workplaces with lower CO2 levels, and that healthy diets lead to more productive people with improved concentration, energy levels, and better cognitive function. Multiple studies have also shown that being physically fit and exercising regularly improve work motivation, productivity, and overall well-being. But because we can't see when our people are not operating at their peak, we think everyone is running at 100%, when in fact, very few people are. We're letting our people go about their day suboptimally, and it's hurting not only their physical and mental well-being, but also the company's bottom line. Just like if that robot was running at 80% capacity. And yet, in my opinion, we do too little. We're expecting them to make choices to change and not doing enough to help shepherd it. It's not just about output. It's about happier, more fulfilled people at both work and at home. We don't trust the data that's definitive. And I think we need to change. Imagine if every idea we had was 20% better. If we resolved every curly problem 15% faster. If we were 18% happier when speaking to that customer on the phone. If everyone in the organization was just that little bit extra on the ball, what would that mean? We have the data to say it would make a difference, and yet we don't drive for it. Now, there's two pieces to this puzzle, and don't get me wrong, it's not all on the company. There's things that you can control as an organization though, like the quality of the air you or your landlord pump into the building, and the food you choose to serve in the cafe. Then there's choices your people need to make to take advantage of the better options you provide them, like actually eating the healthy food options or choosing to take the staircase that you build into the office. The first one, the company pieces, that's easy. The second one, getting people to make the choices, this one's much harder. Because as they say, you can lead an employee to a water station or a salad bar, but you can't make them drink or eat from it. For those of you that are familiar with the controversial move WeWork made back in 2018 to serve and pay for only vegetarian meals, well, you'll be familiar with the backlash they got from that. If you're not familiar with the story, I'll throw some links into the show notes.
In my opinion, we need to be less passive. We need to be more proactive, and we need to drive more. The good news is in today's smart connected workplaces, we can use real-time data combined with gamification and the application of nudge theory to actively encourage people in the right direction. Let me tell you how. Before we continue, I want to take a minute to thank all of you that have taken a few extra minutes to leave a review about the show. I'm really happy to see the content is resonating with so many of you. Podcasting is an interesting medium. As the host of a solo show, as they call this, it's easy to feel like you're sitting here in a padded room talking into a void, not really knowing if the message is hitting the mark or not. The star ratings, and even better, the short written reviews, help me know what you like and enable others to discover the show as well. So if you haven't had the chance to leave one yet, I'd love for you to do so. The simplest way is to visit the website at smarterspaces.live/reviews and hit the rate the show button. Or you can do it right here in the app you're using to listen to me right now. It really is that simple. Thanks a million, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Now, back to the episode. You see, as regular listeners of the show already know, workplaces have a ton of data on what's going on in the office, but it's usually isolated in disparate systems or in many cases, still written on a piece of paper somewhere. It's not really in a usable format to help us drive change or even get basic insights into what's going on. But in smart, intelligent workplaces, we have the ability to bring this disparate data together, synergize it across floors, offices, departments, cities, and even across the globe to measure things we might not have thought about before. It gives us the ability to get insights on things like this. What percentage of people that were in the office today chose a healthy meal for lunch? How many times did people choose to use the stairs versus the elevators? And what's the average number of bottles of water consumed per employee that were in the building today? Having this data as a company alone isn't enough. The power is in bringing it to the surface and exposing it to your employees via your company portal, weekly emails, or even better, live on digital signage at strategic places in the workplace, like the cafeteria or the elevator lobbies. That's where the magic happens. When we expose the information to our people, we can encourage them to move more, to take the stairs, and to make healthier meal choices. We can encourage them to drink more water, use less plastic, and take some extra steps towards saving the planet. Now, when you have more than one smart workplace, we can gather this for every office in the portfolio, and this is where it gets really fun and we can compound the effect. Because what's sometimes more exciting than doing something for yourself is doing something for your team. With data from multiple locations, we have the ability to run some fun, friendly, inter-office competition. To band together as a collective against your rival city from time to time and see who can make the most impact. We know every country, every city has their arch enemies. New York City versus Chicago, San Francisco versus LA, Sydney versus Melbourne, Kuala Lumpur versus Singapore. Having data readily available makes it super easy to run some friendly competitions like these. Which office can drink more water this week or achieve a target average per employee that came into the office? Which office has the largest percentage of change in healthy meal choices from the cafeteria this week? These are just some examples. This can all be done in near real time, and we can use digital signage across the company to tally where people are at. Is my office behind on this week's healthy food choice challenge? Maybe I better grab that coconut tofu and cauliflower dish from the cafe for lunch today versus the roast beef sandwich. The great thing about this approach is we can do it in a way that we don't single out individuals. We do it as a collective. We band together, maybe with just a little bit of peer pressure, to show the others what we're made of. No one likes to be named and shamed, but when people feel they're contributing to the team's achievement, when we're beating the other office, when there's some community pride on the line, when I'm not just doing it for me, but I'm doing it for the team, then we can get some more gravity behind helping people make better choices for themselves and ultimately all of us. So next time you're building a new workplace or thinking about how you can drive some more engagement in your latest wellness campaign, I encourage you to think about the data you may be able to get from across your workplace and how you can put it to use for things you may never have even imagined. Or even when you're looking to build the business case to implement more smarter digital technologies into the office, I encourage you to think outside the box at what you can use the data you're collecting to achieve when you combine it with other data sources you have floating around the office. There's plenty more ways we can use data to encourage behavior change, and I'd love to brainstorm with you what might work in your organization. So don't be shy. Please reach out to me at smarterspaces.live/connect and let's chat about your ideas. As always, a huge thank you to our production partner, iIdea, whose continued support keeps this podcast coming to you fresh every month. Don't know who they are? Well, they could be the very best secret in the world of meeting room panels and kiosk displays. iIdea have been in the business for more than 23 years and make some of the best meeting room panels and kiosk displays on the market. How do I know? I use them every day I go into the office. They don't only look great, they're some of the most secure and innovative displays I've come across, with proven enterprise-scale management tools and support for all the major space reservation platforms, as well as having native support for HID and Apple Digital Wallet credentials right out of the box. So you can just tap your phone on the panel to check into your room with your corporate digital access card. If you're in the market for a meeting room panels or a lobby kiosk display, go check them out at www.iadea.com. You won't be disappointed, and tell them that MP sent you. So that's a wrap on today's episode. But before we leave today, just a reminder, I make this podcast for you. So if it's something you like and feel others would too, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or share it with a colleague or friend. Not sure how to? Not a problem. Just point them to smarterspaces.live/listen and all the options will be available right there. As always, one final disclaimer, all views and opinions I share on this podcast are my own and may not necessarily be those of my employer. I trust you've enjoyed today's topic and I hope you'll tune in for another episode soon. This is where real estate, facilities management, and technology converge. This is Creating Smarter Spaces.